Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Some of the most vulnerable children in South Dakota are unlikely to be counted in the upcoming 2020 census. The 2018 Kids Count Data Book is a comprehensive annual study of child well-being from the Annie E. Casey Foundation. And joining us to sort of unpack some of those numbers, we have Carol Cochran. She's Program Director of South Dakota Kids Count. She's joining us from Vermilion. Carol Cochran, welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here again.
Well, thanks for asking me, Lori.
Tell me a little bit first before we get into the data and the key findings here about your role as a South Dakota Kids Count director.
South Dakota Kids Count is a project of the Annie E. Casey Foundation, and there are Kids Count organizations in all 50 states, the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. And really what we do is we look at data, state data, as well as the national data, and see where we can target resources better, provide that data to policymakers so that they can make changes, so that we can really move the needle in a positive direction for all children.
And this comes out every year, this new study. Why annually?
Annually, because we want to look at trends over time. Okay. And those trends in looking at this, the 16 different indicators across the four domains, give us a way to kind of assess where we've been and where we need to go. Rankings are kind of relative to other states to, again, give us a little point of reference. In South Dakota, Kids Count does an annual fact book that is released in January of every year.
You're looking for what exactly? And then I guess what I'm wondering about the year is, you know, is 1 year enough to see progress? Can you tell things just a year later that are going to be useful in policy making?
Well, the data book really examines recent trends from two different points in time. So this book looks at trends from 2010 through 2016. And that's what we're really looking at. Have we gotten better or worse, or are we staying the same? And then from all of that data, the Casey Foundation ranks the different domains, and then they give an overall rank to the states.
All right. Go ahead.
Well, it really is data is a point in time. Okay, and data can change day to day, year to year, like you're saying. But it's real in looking at that, we want to make sure that we are progressing. And maybe some of the different programs or policies that we have passed are having a positive impact.
All right, let's talk about those four domains. We're looking at health, education, what else?
Economic well-being and family and community. And again, those four domains and the indicators kind of look at child development over time and really progressing through different stages.
As a nation, it seems like there are fewer children in poverty, and we're making progress on that front, but it seems like there's a strong racial disparity. Is that what we're seeing in South Dakota as well?
Yes. So we did improve slightly on that indicator from last year, but we still have about 17% of children in poverty, and that's roughly about 35,000 children living in families with incomes below the poverty line. Yeah. And when you break that apart according to race, you have over half, about 54% of American Indian children, and that's about eight times higher than white children in South Dakota.
Mm. Other key findings, what are we looking at that sort of making news, the things that everyone's talking about? Just released today, of course, but.
Mm-hmm. I think in the education domain, looking at about 15,000 children ages 3 to 4 who are not in school. That's about 61% of this age group. Again, when you pull apart the race, about half of American Indian children ages 3 to 4 were not in any school programs. But that percentage was higher for white children at 66%.
Why does that matter? That's a factor of the fact that South Dakota does not have a state-funded preschool system, but many ages 3 and 4 kids are just not in school because their parents don't, you know, need them to be. Or how do you look at a number like that?
Yeah, I think it's important that we have opportunity for all children to take advantage of preschool and education. We know from research how important it is to create those little synapses in those brains early on. We have a lot of single parents in this state, And it would be nice to be able to take advantage of some early education for those children. And not every children maybe needs that, or parents don't want that. And I think that's okay. But we need to create some opportunities for those children and families that could benefit from it.
Let's stay in the area of education then, because those numbers are interesting as you look from, you know, the number of young children not in school, and I'm not saying there's a correlation here, but then you look ahead to fourth grade and you see a similar percentage of them are struggling in fourth grade or not proficient in certain areas. Tell us about what's happening for fourth graders.
Well, and it's important that by fourth grade you have good reading skills. So up to third grade, you are learning to read. After fourth grade, you are reading to learn. And so some of that early education helps kids in that area. I think that does translate into math. And then when you're talking about graduating on time, more kids will stay in school and graduate on time and then go on for higher education, be it in a technical school, be it associate's degree or a bachelor's degree.
Okay, so am I reading this number right, then 64% of our fourth graders are not proficient in reading? 64%?
That's correct.
And that's an improvement.
that is an improvement. And the nation is at 65%. So wow. It's not like we're just way out of whack.
Right.
But it's something to take a look at.
Right. But then when we look at high school students not graduating on time, it's only 16%.
Right. And again, that got better. And the mm-hmm. national average is 16% as well. But you're still talking about looking at those numbers and seeing where we can improve.
Right. Exactly. So math scores getting a little bit worse. Eighth graders not proficient in math, up to a full 62%.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised at that, because usually, in 2009, it was 58%.
Right.
Again, nationally, it's 67%. So getting worse on that. Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on there.
Right. Let's jump over to economic well-being. And what is the, how are we considering the poverty line in South Dakota when we talk about how many children in poverty? Put that in perspective as far as what that actually means.
Yeah, the poverty threshold would be for a family of four of two parents and two children, about, is it 23 or 24,300 or 23?
Okay.
No, I can't remember here.
Right. In this neighborhood, and then 17% of kids are living in poverty. And maybe you already said this, but how does that break down racially? That's quite a distinction.
About 18%. About 54% were American Indian children, and 7% were white children.
All right. Other economic factors that we're looking about, parents who are employed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and we always fare very good on that. We do have a lot of employment. We have certainly a high rate of dual job holders in this state. Mm. I see that we got a little bit worse on that with parents who lack secure employment by about 1%.
Sure.
We're still above the national rate. And it's something to look at. I think it can be a double-edged sword. It's good that we have a lot of parents employed. I wonder why we have to have so many
right.
employed.
Right, there's another challenge
yes.
there. Right, so yeah, we talk about the statistics, and they're very important, but you also have to contextualize them and sort of look at the big picture as well.
Right, and to really peel back what's really going on, and I think that's what this data does. It's not enough just to look at the numbers
right.
or even the rankings, but really to take a closer look at what's going on.
We had a show earlier this week about affordable housing in the state and doing slightly better since 2010 on that housing cost burden. But still significant numbers of people are struggling with that.
About 20%. And housing, if you're paying more than 30% of your income for housing, that means you're not paying for food. You know, it's taking
right.
a bite out of food, transportation, heating, and other things like that.
All right. This is one of my favorites. Teens not in school and not work. Oh, I thought it was in school and not working. It's not in school and not working.
A double not.
So that's a fairly small number percentage-wise, but still 6% of teenagers. 3,000 in South Dakota?
Yep, 3,000 in South Dakota. And that's that age group would be idle teens. And you really want to make sure students are in school or they have a job and working. Right. It just is going to help our economy and help transition teens into adulthood.
Right. You can insert your own idle teen joke here. Even though the reality is not funny, we'll allow a good idle teen humor to pass under our radar here. Let's talk about health, because that's something that we're 45th in the nation.
Yes, I was surprised at that. Unfortunately, we can't compare it to last year's rank, but yeah, that is pretty low. I'm very surprised by that. I think a big thing that has gone into that is the child and teen deaths. Okay. If you break that apart, you have accidents and suicides. Are two of the bigger ones here in South Dakota, but accidents, it's really car crashes, is the biggest one here.
Alcohol and drug abuse among teenagers then?
Well, alcohol and drug abuse, we have about 6%, and this is one that we can't compare to last year's book. Nationally, it's 5% of teens. Fairly close, but you're still talking about 4,000 kids who really struggle with that.
Right. And last category, family and community. Looking at single-parent families, kids living in high-poverty areas, teen births and others. What are some of the key takeaways as we study child welfare and family and community in the state?
Yeah, a couple things. Children living in single-parent families, that jumped a couple of percentage points from 2010, so there's about 62,000 children in single-parent families. That's a struggle for, I think, economics for families. It's still a little bit lower than the national average of 35%, but it's creeping up.
Right.
Teen births certainly have gone down overall, not only nationally, but in most every state. And we saw a big dip in that from 35 per 1,000 down to 25.
What happens next with these numbers? What sort of folks are using it to sort of look at policy? What happens now?
Well, I'm hoping that people will look at this data, ask more questions, and talk with their state legislators or the current candidates who are running for different legislative positions, governor, even nationally, and talk to them about these numbers to say, you know, what can we do? What kinds of things can we put in place that may have an impact on these numbers? Because I would hate to see our overall rank continue to drop.
Right. Have you seen impact in the past of either, organizations or people reaching out and you can sort of see some of those conversations brewing or actual policies and efforts, come forth that you say, yeah, this is linked directly to what we know about what's happening for kids in the state?
Yeah, I think high school students not graduating on time. I remember, what was it, in 2010 or something, passing a law that students had to stay in high school until age 18 and not 16. And that was a big drop at that point in time. And it's kind of evened out, but there was a big drop at that point in time.
And we mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, we just have a couple minutes left, but this notion that some of these, the most vulnerable kids in South Dakota, might not be counted in the 2020 census. What is that about?
Yeah, I think it's important. There are a lot that we have about, Census Bureau uses census tracts to count, and we have several census tracts that are hard to count. And what that means is either that an enumerator needs to go out house to house, and those are in the more rural areas, and many of them are on our tribal lands, or they have to send out a questionnaire instead of doing something over the internet, which is a new thing that the Census Bureau is going to do now. And I think if we don't count children, and if people don't make sure that everybody's counted in their household, we lose out on federal funds. And I think those federal funds do help families close a gap for a few years that they might need that, be that Head Start funding or SNAP funding, which is food stamps, or Other major programs that like Title I in education that are going to help younger kids as well as kids as they matriculate through education.
Carol Cochran is Program Director of South Dakota Kids Count. Carol, where can people get the data book for their own use now?
They can go out to aecf.org, which is the Annie E. Casey Foundation, and they can download it there or give me a call at 605-677-6432, and I'll send you one.
Carol, thanks so much for coming by again. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Lori.